Several years ago, I heard a story that was kind of circulating around a little bit about a little child, a boy, who attended church with his grandparents. And they attended church regularly together. Like, they were there all the time. They were there week in and week out. And one communion Sunday, he watched as people, they must do communion kind of how we do to some degree. They were coming forward. So he watched as the people were walking forward to come up and to receive the bread and to take the cup and to go back to their chairs. And he leaned over to his grandmother and he asked her this question. And he said, "Can anybody go up there?" His grandmother smiled gently and she said to him, she said, "Well, it's for people who belong to Jesus." The little boy sat quietly and for a moment, and then he asked probably a deeper question. He says, "Does Jesus know I'm trying?" And honestly, like, sometimes we snicker at that kind of a question, but it's honestly a question, maybe not phrased exactly like that, but I believe that question probably lives in more hearts than we know. Do I belong to Jesus? Am I worthy? Am I too broken? Do I have it together enough for Jesus to accept me? Can somebody like me really come to the table? So today, as we're kind of extending our series about questions that we ask, we're going to ask this question. Do I really belong at the table? As we are preparing to come and receive communion, I think it's a good question for us to ask is, do I belong? Is the table open for me? Who can come to the table, in a sense? The table of Jesus is not reserved for perfect people. It is prepared for repentant people. It is not for those who have achieved holiness on their own, because we can't do that, first of all. But the table that we come to is for those who know that they desperately need the grace of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to focus on this morning before we open the table for you to come and receive. Heavenly Father, today we thank you for the cross. We thank you for mercy that meets us in our weakness. As we open your word this morning, soften our hearts, Lord God. Remind us again what communion truly means. Prepare us not just to receive the bread and the cup, but to receive your grace afresh today, Lord God. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. I'm going to have you turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 2, verse 17. Mark chapter 2, verse 17. If you are using one of the church Bibles found under the chair in front of you or nearby, you'll find that on page 708. Mark chapter 2. I said verse 17. I'm actually going to change that. We're going to back up to verse 15. Just so we're getting a little bit more of the setting of what is taking place here before we hit verse 17. So starting at verse 15, it says, "While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, and there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, 'Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?' And then comes Jesus' answer. Hearing this, Jesus said, It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. The first thing I want us to consider this morning is communion reminds us that Jesus invites broken people. He invites broken people into relationship with him, right? It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. It's a desire for relationship. It is, Jesus reminds us that the table is for those that are broken. When Jesus spoke those words, he was surrounded by religious leaders, it said, who could not understand why he spent time with the tax collectors, with sinners, with messy people who were in messy situations. They couldn't comprehend it. They couldn't get it. But Jesus makes something incredibly clear. Hear me on this. The gospel is not an invitation for people who think that they are perfect. It is an invitation for people who know that they need saving. That's the gospel. Not an invitation for people who think that they are perfect. It's an invitation for people who know that they need saving. That matters because many people misunderstand communion. Some people believe communion is only for Christians who had a flawless week this last week, right? So how many of us are now up and leaving because we don't make that requirement? Or only for people who have never struggled? A few more of us up and leaving? We haven't met that requirement? Some believe it's only for people who pray enough. Or only for people who earn their way back to God. But none of us could ever earn our seat at the table. If perfection were required, not a single one of us would be coming up for communion this morning. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. One of Scripture's most encouraging verses. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Verse itself is not necessarily Scripture's most encouraging verse. It's calling us out. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This means that every one of us comes to the table this morning carrying something. Carrying regret, carrying failure, temptation, fear, shame, brokenness, sin, whatever it might be that is a part of our lives or has been a part of our lives. And yet Jesus still says, come. Come. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus says, come. One study from Barna Group, which is a statistic gathering place for Christian statistics oftentimes, found that nearly 70% of Christians report regularly struggling with feelings of spiritual inadequacy. Feeling like they're not good enough for God. That's exactly why communion matters. Communion reminds us that our hope was never in our own goodness. Our hope is in His grace. The bread reminds us His body was broken for us. The cup reminds us His blood was shed for us. Not because we deserve it, but because He loved us. Pastor once said, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Meaning this, no one stands taller there. No one arrives more deserving than the next at the foot of the cross. We all come the same way through mercy. And maybe today, maybe this morning, right now, Somebody here walked into the church building feeling spiritually exhausted. Maybe somebody here came carrying guilt from this last week, from decisions that they made, from things they did, from things they didn't do. Maybe somebody wondered if Jesus still welcomes them after what they've done in their lives. Hear this clearly this morning, friends. You belong to Jesus. And if you belong to Jesus, you belong at his table. Not because you're perfect, but because he is gracious. And then that idea, it naturally leads us to another, I think, really important question. Does it matter how we approach the table? Number two, communion calls us to examine our hearts. I think it does matter how we approach the table. We are all welcome to the table, but I do believe that it matters how we approach the table. If you go to 1 Corinthians, I'll have you turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you're using one of the church Bibles, page 812. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to pick up at verse 27. Says, so then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink the cup. For whoever eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, eat and drink judgment on themselves. Paul writes these words to a church that had turned communion into a routine religious ritual. Some were selfish. Some ignored the poor. Some treated the Lord's table as if it was just a box to check off their to-do list for the day. And Paul said, stop. Slow down. Examine your heart. It's important for us to notice here, too. Paul does not say examine everyone else. The truth is that we are a whole lot more comfortable examining other people than we are ourselves oftentimes. In fact, we can become experts at examining other people, whether it be spiritually or other aspects of their lives. Just this last week, I'm not going to tell you how many hours, but too many hours. I watched a show, and it was a show about somebody that was put in prison for something, and I got fascinated by this show, and I started like looking into more details and more details and more details and just examining this person's life because I was fascinated with how they got to the point of where they ended up in jail. So like we're really good at examining other people's lives, right? Like I spent several hours examining somebody else's life. I've never met this person before. When's the last time I spent several hours examining my life? When's the last time you've spent some time examining your life? Because that's what we're called to do, to examine our lives. Not everybody else's, but ours. Communion invites us to look inward. Communion offers us this moment of a holy pause. A moment to ask, Lord, is there anything in me that needs surrender to you? Is there bitterness in my life, Lord, that I'm holding on to? Is there sin in my life that I'm hiding? Is there somebody that I need to offer forgiveness to? Have I drifted spiritually? Like, this is the time to be asking those questions. Communion is not about perfection, but it is about honesty. David prayed in Psalm 139, "Search me, God, and know my heart." That is the posture that we should be coming to the communion table with. Search me, God, and know my heart. Not pretending, not performing, not polishing ourselves up, just honestly bringing ourselves before Jesus. One author described communion in this way. It is the believer's regular return to the foot of the cross. I like that picture. Because life has a way of distracting us, right? Like hardships happen to us, and they pull our thoughts away. Success, it certainly distracts us. Pain isolates us. Routines can dull us spiritually. Communion pulls us back. Communion pulls us back to God's grace, back to humility, back to Jesus. That's why it's so important that we take communion together. Maybe today is not just a communion service. Maybe this is a spiritual reset moment for some in here. Maybe today God wants to soften a heart that's been hardened. Maybe he wants to restore a wandering heart or to heal a heart that's been wounded deeply. That can all be part of the sacred time of communion. It's important for us to remember that communion is not only about personal reflection, however. And there's another thing I want us to focus on this morning. It ties in so well as we talked about membership and being one body of Christ, right? Communion reminds us, number three, that we are one body. As we receive communion, that's part of what we're reminded about. If you go back just a page or two in your Bibles from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that you're in, just go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and look at verse 17. It says, because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. Communion is deeply personal. There's no question about that. But it's not meant to be this thing that's just done privately all the time. The cross did not just reconcile us to God, it reconciles us to one another as well. Here's, I think, one of the beautiful things about the communion table and the process of coming and receiving communion at the table is that labels disappear as we do this. Right? We all come on that equal ground that we talked about earlier. Titles are dissolved, like political labels gone, economic labels gone, social labels gone, church titles gone, past mistakes don't matter, personal histories don't matter. At the table, we are just one family, one body, following Christ. That's why communion is such a beautiful picture of the church, right? Different stories and different backgrounds, different ages, different struggles in life. Yet one Savior brings us all together right here at the table. I think the early church really understood this well. Acts chapter 2 says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of the bread, and to prayer. Communion reminded them, we belong to Christ and we belong to each other. And I think that in a world growing increasingly isolated, increasingly divided and lonely, communion becomes a countercultural act. Researchers continue reporting increasing loneliness in America despite constant digital connection, right? Like we are more connected today than ever in history. But there's probably more loneliness today than ever in history as well. One recent study found nearly half of adults report significant feelings of loneliness on a regular basis. People are starving to belong. And communion declares in Christ, you are not alone. You are a part of the body of Christ. These are your brothers and your sisters sitting to your right and to your left. And what that means for us is that when one person is hurting, we care. It's our brother, it's our sister in Christ. When one person is rejoicing, like, let's celebrate with them, right? When one person falls as a brother or sister, you don't write them off and push them off. No, absolutely not. What you do is you gently help restore them. When one person is struggling, what do? You walk beside your brother or your sister. The table reminds us we do not journey alone. You remember the little boy's question from the beginning of the sermon? His question was this: does Jesus know that I'm trying? Does Jesus know I'm trying? The beautiful truth of the gospel is this: Jesus does more than notice us trying. Jesus sees us. Jesus loves us. He calls us, invites us, and he saves us. And today he invites us to the table. At Fairland, we practice an open communion table. So you don't need to be a member in order to come and to participate in communion this morning. We just ask that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Clearly, I hope it was stated clearly through my message this morning, you do not need to be perfect in that relationship, right? The table is about messiness. If you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you are welcome. You are invited to receive the elements. For parents that are with us this morning, your children just came back in. If you choose to have your younger children participate, we encourage you just to use this time as a meaningful opportunity to talk to your children about the significance of communion and what Jesus has done for us through the cross. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come forward. As you come forward, you will take a piece of bread, you'll take a cup, you'll go back to your seats. Spend a moment in prayer. Talk to God. Maybe there is something in the section of examination that we were talking about that you just need to make right with God. Do that. And then when you are ready, where you are seated, you may eat the bread and drink the cup. When we are done receiving communion, the worship team will come. They'll lead us in our closing song. Let me go ahead. I'm going to say a prayer. Then I'll open the communion table. Val's going to be playing some music. Just spend some time reflecting on God's goodness and the invitation that he gives you to come to the table. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you, Lord God, that in our brokenness, in our messy lives, that you invite us to the table. We thank you, Lord God, that your word tells us so clearly that it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. We're thankful that you love broken people. Lord God, as we come and receive the elements this morning, may we be reminded of the sacrifice that you made, of your love for us, your willingness to take our place to pay the penalty of our sins on that cross, your body broken, your blood shed on our behalf. May we be reminded of that. May we always be thankful and grateful for that, Lord God. And may we also, Lord God, be reminded that there's a beautiful banquet in the future, and this is just a preview of that, where we will be in your presence one day again. Pray these things in your name. Amen.